SB Nation Radio here, 106.7 The Fan with Mike Pradom, Scott Jackson, and our pleasure to bring in the voice of the George Mason Patriots and, of course, also the host of Overtime here on 106.7 The Fan. He's Bill Rowland with us here and getting ready for another CAA tournament. Bill, 11 years with the Patriots. How does this year compare to some of the past years? I know you guys went to the Final Four not too long ago, but this one's been pretty special so far.
Yeah, it's interesting because the guys themselves have even talked about that they like what the team in 06 had done. They appreciate what they did for the university. But this year, it's about them and about the legacy that they're trying to leave. And, I mean, let's be honest, that team in 06 didn't win the CAA outright. They weren't the number one seed in the CAA tournament. They didn't win 15 in a row. They weren't ranked in the top 25 going into the CAA tournament. They got to the top 25 and then got knocked out the following week. So they've kind of used 06 as a little bit of motivation. They respect those guys, but they're not in awe of those guys. And I think that's good. I think it's healthy for them to say, look, we like what they did. That was 5 years ago. This is now. This is our time.
The other thing is that the CAA this year, I would say, is better than it was in 2006. Now, it was very good in 2006, but we're talking about a top 10 RPI conference with Old Dominion, a likely lock, and a lot of other dangerous teams that they're fighting for the CAA tournament title.
Oh, yeah, there's no question. I mean, you had six teams finish the regular season with 20 or more wins, and they're one of, I think, maybe three conferences in the country that have that. And the ACC doesn't have that. That's kind of the conference that everybody looks at because they're right here in the Mid-Atlantic along with the CAA. And it's interesting, all year long, you kept looking at the RPI numbers, and the CAA would have more teams in the top 75 than the ACC would. And I think it's going back and forth, but clearly the CAA isn't the ACC, but the point that that people are trying to make is, hey, this is a pretty deep team, and I mean deep conference, and any of these teams, I mean, it's, when you look at it, the ninth place team in our conference beat handily the worst team in the ACC, so it's not like it was just the top teams that were beating up on some of the lower level power conference teams. I mean, it was our lower level teams were beating power conference teams. So it's a very deep, very talented, it just kind of like the perfect storm, lots of seniors on lots of these upper echelon teams, and yeah, I think the CAA definitely this year is better than 06.
We're here with Bill Rowland, voice of the George Mason Patriots, also host of Overtime here at 106.7 The Fan. With us here on SB Nation Radio, Scott Jackson and Mike Prater with you. Well, we go into the tournament. As you said, this team wants to leave their own legacy, and certainly George Mason, you know, it's as safe as it's ever been for a CAA team going into a conference tournament. Say they've already done enough work to be in the big dance, but how important is it to this group, and what's the message Jim Larranega sent to these guys about finishing it off and getting a conference championship?
Well, yeah, I think one of the goals that they always set every year, obviously the goal is to get to the NCAA tournament. Like you said, Scott, they along with Old Dominion have probably accomplished that goal. Then the next goal is win the CAA regular season. They've been able to check that off. Win the CAA conference tournament. And again, if they go back and look at 06, those guys didn't do it. They lost in the semifinals to Hofstra that year. So that's an extra motivation for these guys to say, hey, you know what? We can take it a step further. We may not get to Houston to the Final Four, but we can point back and say, yeah, you know what? That 06 team didn't win the regular season. That 06 team didn't win the conference championship. We were able to do that because we all know once you get into the NCAA tournament, it's all about luck and matchups. And the committee's not going to look and say, oh, this is a better matchup than another. They're just going to say these are the teams lie, and sometimes you get a team that you can catch on a bad day in advance. Other times, no matter what was going to happen, the other team that you got matched up against, their style of play, their personnel just doesn't jive with what you're trying to do, and you end up getting bounced in the first round. That's the reality of the NCAA tournament. So take nothing away from that 06 team. The things kind of fell their way, and you know it could happen again in 11. It just depends on what the matchups are.
We're talking to Bill Rowland, voice of the George Mason Patriots. Now, who do you think is the biggest challenger to George Mason in this CAA? I know Old Dominion is very good.
Sorry, go ahead.
Actually, they're not so great, Scott. Oh. I think they're overrated.
Yeah.
Hofstra has played very well. Who do you think poses the biggest challenge?
Well, if they get to Monday night, I would imagine, and Scott will love this, I would imagine Old Dominion's going to be staring at them across the court when they get
yes.
to Monday night. Because these two teams, despite the fact that Hofstra and Old Dominion tied for the same conference record in the regular season, I think clearly it has been Old Dominion and George Mason have been a little cut above the rest of the conference. As good as the conference has been, those two teams have been even a little bit better. I think the toughest thing for them, for Mason, is going to be if they get past the first round, the quarterfinals on Saturday, which I expect that they should, they could be looking at VCU in that 1-4 game. And while Mason handled VCU a couple weeks ago in Richmond, it's going to be tough because they're going to have 6,000-7,000 fans there. It's going to be like a home game for them. And frankly, Mason has never beaten VCU in the CAA tournament. I think they're 0-4, 0-5 against them all time. So that's one of those things that's going to make it a little bit tough. Now, VCU has to get past their quarterfinal matchup, which is no given, because they're probably going to face a Drexel team that just beat them a couple weeks ago as well. So I think Old Dominion, if Mason isn't the team that goes through and wins it, I think Old Dominion would be easily the second behind there. I think Old Dominion will handle Hofstra if they're both there in the semifinals, because Old Dominion just rebounds better than any team practically in the country, let alone in the conference. And I don't think Hofstra's bigs can stay up with Finney and Bazemore and Hassell and Clark and the rest of the guys that Old Dominion throws at you on the front line.
Well, Mason, of course, has been the hottest team in college basketball, winning 15 in a row. I hit this all the time when I talk to people about George Mason. You know, Jim Larrañaga has done an amazing job at that program. I don't think anybody could have envisioned when he took that job he would take it to this level. Other teams have come knocking. You know, most recently the Providence one was apparently pretty serious enough where it's his alma mater that he thought about it pretty hard. What is it about Jim Larrañaga? You get to see him all the time up close. What does he do that is so successful to keep this program right there year in and year out as a contender?
Well, Scott, I think the main thing is he came in right from the get-go. His very first meeting that he had with the guys way back in 1998, and they were coming off, you know, the Westhead years, which were a disaster. Sure. And you had guys with long hair and the beards and everything else. And he first came in, he said, "What do you guys see when you look at a program like Duke or a program like North Carolina? What do the players look like?" And, you know, and all the guys, "Well, I mean, short hair," and everything. And he goes, "Exactly, because you got, if you're going to play good, you need to look good." So right off the bat, I mean, from day one, he's always said, "This is how we're going to run our program. These certain things. We're always going to have respect for our opponents." You know, all those niceties that coaches try to do, but a lot of them don't follow it. He, from day one, has always been, "This is how we're going to do things, and if you don't like it, you don't have to be here." And we've had some guys leave because of that, but it's just him running everything in a first-class manner, expecting the guys to represent the university in a first-class manner, and they've been able to do that. And let's be honest, he's had some guys that have ended up being pretty good recruiters for him over the years and brought in some pretty good talent. You think about a guy like Bill Courtney, who's up as a head coach of Cornell now, who is a fantastic recruiter. Scott Cherry, who's the head coach at High Point now, who was a fantastic recruiter for them early on with Larrañaga. So it's been a lot of the assistants that have done the heavy lifting to get guys in here. But once they do, Larrañaga's been able to take those players, shape them into the type of teams that he wants, and they've been successful.
Now, speaking of Larrañaga, he won CAA Coach of the Year the other day, which is not a surprise. Cam Long was on the CAA first team. He didn't win Player of the Year because of Charles Jenkins.
Right.
That's also not a surprise. But no George Mason players made the all-defensive team, and that, to me, was a big surprise.
Yeah, it was to the players as well. I was following on Twitter as they were announcing these things. Of course, all the guys down there had their cell phones out, you know, at the banquet, and everybody from all the teams are Twittering. And one of the things they said was that it was amazing to them that not only didn't they get a guy on the first team, their first player was junior guard Andre Cornelius, who was 10th. In the voting,
wow.
And I was the first guy that showed up for them. So I actually kind of chuckled to myself. I thought DJ should have been first team. You know, to me, I voted for Frank Cassell from Old Dominion as the Defensive Player of the Year, and then right behind him I had Andre Cornelius and then some of the other guys, Chason Allen, who I think is a fantastic player from Northeastern, was on my all-defensive team as well. But I kind of chuckled to myself and said, you know what, maybe this is good. Maybe these guys will now go into the tournament saying, "Oh, you don't think we can play any defense? Let's go ahead and lock teams down, and then at the end of the weekend, we can say, well, I guess we're not very good defensively, but we're cutting down the nets." That's what you hope for anyway, that somehow they'll be able to twist that to motivation. But, I mean, look, Scott, you guys all know this. This stuff is all about media people who see teams maybe at the most 2-3 times a year at best. They don't know. They look at the numbers, and a guy like Ken Bazemore from Old Dominion's got a ton of steals, and he had a fantastic season. But it doesn't tell the whole story when, you know, when Cornelius is shutting down, you know, Tomko from UNC Wilmington and Darius James the second time they played of Old Dominion and the top point guards in the league. Nobody sees all those games, so they just look at it and go, oh, he's only averaging about a steal a game. How good could he be?
The other thing is that that's a poor way to measure defense.
Yep.
Defense
absolutely.
Is such a team thing.
It's a hard thing to measure, too, if you're not seeing people play.
Right. When I watch George Mason, what strikes me is not what each individual guy is doing. It's that the help is always there. The pick-and-roll coverage is always there. They're always cutting down the corner shots. It's hard to isolate who's the best defender on that team, I think, is what I would say from watching them a few times.
Yeah, and that's – Coach Larnega talked about that they're a very good defensive team, and it's all five guys have to be, because if somebody doesn't do their job, you're going to get scored on. But his point in trying to push DJ for first team is, where does it start? It starts with pressure on the ball, and if you're taking the other team out of their offense – then that guy's doing his job, and that's what Cornelius has been asked to do. For me, on Old Dominion side, Frank Cassell does such a good job defending the rim and rebounding and blocking shots and defending guys in the post. I think he's more valuable to what Old Dominion does defensively than maybe Bazemore is, and that's not taking anything away from Bazemore. He does a fantastic job at the front of their zone that they like to run, but to me, Cassell has just been amazing for them, again, and not letting teams establish anything inside against Old Dominion. He's been a rock for them the entire year.
All right, Bill Rowland, well, enjoy it. Another CAA tournament down in Richmond, always a lot of fun, and good luck to you and Mason, except for when you play somebody's alma mater on this show. But
not mine. You'll never play my alma mater.
That's right.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, take it easy. Bill Rowland, voice of the George Mason Patriots, host on 106.7 of Overtime, and that's going to do it for us. We don't want to work any more overtime. We got people to thank.
Oh, zing.
Halo.
That was a good one.
Jack Anderson from SB Nation DC, Adam Vingan from Kings of Leonsis, as well as SB Nation DC and Bill Rowland, who you just heard from. Thanks to Othello for all the behind the scenes work. And again, follow us on Twitter at SB Nation Radio and be a fan of us on Facebook at SB Nation DC as well. Mike Prada enjoyed it. We'll do it again next week. And don't forget to get on SB Nation DC. And Monday, my Chain Reactions column will be there about something and many things that happened this week in the world of DC sports.
That is one hell of a teaser right there.
That is a hell of a teaser. One thing and many things.
We will talk about sports next week on this show.
That as well. That'll do it. Enjoyed it. Until next week, SB Nation Radio here on 106.7 The Fan.